Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to talk about Mary a lot today. When you think about Mary, other than having the birth of Jesus, most people think about it was sad that she had to see her son crucified. And it was. But you ever think about all the other stuff Mary had to go through? It was shameful that day. Not like it is today, but it was shameful that day for somebody who wasn't married to get pregnant. I believe in the town that she was ridiculed, she was put down, she was sneered at. So then she ran away to her aunt's house. Even Joseph didn't know at first. He was probably very upset. Look at all the stuff for answering the call of God. It wasn't until the Lord sent an angel to speak to old Joseph, says, "Look, you take her, man." He's saying, "This is me." And then they had to go to Bethlehem, had to leave her home, go to Bethlehem. Couldn't find a place. "God, I'm doing your will, and I have to have this baby in an old stinky cave. I don't even have a crib for it. Got to put it in a manger, feeding trough." Then they had to leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt, because Herod was coming in there to kill all the babies. Think about that. Because of your baby, many other babies died. All because she answered a call. Come on. All because she said, "God, I'll do what you want me to do." Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. "And in the sixth month of the angel, Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, 'Hail, thou art highly favored.'" Think about that. "Hey, Mary, you are highly favored. You're a good Christian. You're highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among the women." I'm sure she enjoyed hearing that. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her," look, she's already troubled. He says, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Here it comes. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth the son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know it's not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God," hear me folks, "for with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Lord, we love you. God, we appreciate you. We ask you, God, right now to touch every heart here today. God, I want you to speak to us. I want us to leave here different than when we walked in this door. God, I pray right now your will be done. Anoint your servant to speak your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Just want to remind you folks, you see me doing some coughing here. It's not because I have a cold, it's because of my throat. Okay, I remember I told you all I went to a doctor and had acid reflux, didn't even know I was having it. But I have to go surgery Wednesday. They're going to check something out in there that they saw that they're concerned about. So please keep me in your prayers. I am glad to have my voice back to this point. All right. So I want to speak to you this morning. Mary's willingness overcame her fear. Mary's willingness overcame her fear. The scripture said she was greatly troubled. Spiritual stuff can be scary. Come on. When you read in the verse Luke 1:29, the phrase greatly troubled stands out. And I want to look at those words this morning. Spiritual stuff can be scary because it's uncharted territory for many. Many people don't know much about spiritual things, and so it's kind of a mystery. But many people like spiritual things, but they don't understand how they work. You see, you don't know what God is going to ask from you. Right? And when it comes to that kind of stuff, they're like, wait a minute, God. Have you checked out this person first? Maybe this one might do it. Right? That's what happened to Moses. He says, hey, wait a minute, I stutter. Is God going to ask you to go to Africa? Is he going to ask you to make massive, painful changes to your life? My wife says she told God before she married me, God, anything but a pastor's wife. God has gym jokes. Right? Folks, it's probably not healthy, a healthy sign when we get totally comfortable in our walk with God. If we are comfortable, it probably means that we're not moving forward with God anymore. We've gotten settled into a familiar rut and we're staying where we are because we're comfortable. As Christians, God continues to push us forward into challenges, and he pushes us into situations that might make us uncomfortable. And if you can't remember the last time your faith made you uncomfortable, it might be that you're not walking in faith, but rather sitting in faith, in a rut. Becoming less troubled, knowing more about God makes it less scary. In Luke 1:30-33, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You see, the angel here answers Mary's doubts. He shares information that encourages. And because of the good news stance that God has toward us, folks, right now today, God has a good news stance for each and every one of us. You say, well, I don't understand all this stuff going on. How can it be a good news? Just wait and find out from God. Because of the good news stance that God has toward us, that is also true in a number of other ways. You see, greatly troubled trying to figure God out. In Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Amen. Folks, you got to understand, you got to trust in God. Even when it doesn't, you seem like you're walking blind and trying to feel your way around. You need to trust in God. Don't lean onto your own understanding. Another way is greatly troubled, praying for the first time in a long time. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. It may have been a while since you got down and said, God, I need you. But folks, say, trust in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Believe in Him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let God know what you need. Hallelujah. You can also be greatly troubled when you're convicted of sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, hallelujah, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. You want to take a load off? Say, God, I'm sorry for my mess up. God, help me. I'm going to confess this situation. You can be greatly troubled in thinking about eternity. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, God's got something for you, folks. Amen. Just keep on trucking His way. Keep on going His path. This is no time to back down and quit. Come on. The Bible says if you can't walk with the footman, you ain't going to run with the horseman. Hey, man, come on. You think this is rough times right now? It ain't going to get any easier. We got to stay on the course. Hallelujah. He's come that we might have life. Amen. Do you believe His word? Do you trust in His word? I refuse to live in fear. Come on. We get greatly troubled sometimes when we obey Christ. People don't understand this, folks. They don't know why. Amen. I heard there was a poll out that said, amen, the only people that are during this time, during all this pandemic and all this garbage going, the only people that are doing better is the Christians. Well, of course. Come on. We put our faith and trust in God. I'm glad we have somebody we can throw our cares upon. He cares for us. So we're going to obey Him. Matthew 7:24-20. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and listen to this, folks, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Unless you got your hand in the hand of Jesus Christ, amen, you're going to have some problems. You're going to be afraid to look around and see what you see. But amen, I'm going to put my hand in Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for Him, and this house is going to stand no matter what. Hallelujah. Folks, we got to understand, there's troubles all around. Do I want the good news? Yes, I do. It's a choice. Living for God is a choice. You can stay in the dark about whatever issue you're facing when it comes to spiritual things. Or you can believe that the Bible is telling the truth when it says there is good news. Amen. And you could step out and step up and say, hey, amen, follow me because I'm going to take you to know a man that's going to keep you. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. It's easy to remain in your defensive position. It's easy to stay right where you are. But God has better things for you. I want you to understand that today. God has better things. He wants to be present in your life and help you become like Him. Don't limit what God can do. Mary expressed disbelief. She was a virgin. Could a virgin fulfill the angel's prediction of a baby? You see, we too often limit what we believe God is capable of. God cannot do that, we think in our minds. We think God cannot. We limit in our minds what we believe that God can do. Luke 1:34, then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? There's no doubt that the angel's message about the virgin birth is a lot to take in. Come on. Because of that, it's easy to be sympathetic toward Mary. We would not doubt have also struggle with the miraculous news. We pay a lot of attention, folks. We pay a lot of attention to hard disbelief. I'll say that again. We pay a lot of attention to hard disbelief. Those who say they don't believe in God or in the Bible. When somebody says that, we pay attention to that kind of stuff. And when we see things, we're like, oh, wow, that's pretty neat. You know, they don't believe in God. You know, when you hear somebody say something, you know, that kind of perks our ears, maybe it sounds like they're starting to think differently. And we know maybe against God, atheist. It's the word I'm trying to look for. We pay a lot of attention to that hard disbelief stuff. We pay less attention to soft disbelief. Soft disbelief acknowledges there is a God, but doesn't expect anything from God. That's where a lot of Christians are. You know, I believe in God, but when it comes to miracles, we're like, well, you know, that's for somebody else, but not me. Right? Soft disbelief has faith in God, but not enough to take His promises seriously. Christians display a lot of soft disbelief. And we claim a faith in God, but then don't really expect anything to come out of it. So in both cases, we limit in our minds what we believe God can do. And why do we do that? Why, folks, why do we act that way? Is it because we don't think that He works today? See, God answers Paul's prayer and did amazing things, but that doesn't happen today. We don't think He could use someone like me, like He did like Paul. You know, you may have your different characters in the Bible that you really like, but you never think it would ever happen to you. Why wouldn't it? Is it because of your unbelief? We believe God wants to use the ministers of the church and see lives change, but we don't see where we would ever be a part of that. You got to come to church and meet my pastor. He'll pray for you. Why don't you pray for him? Come on. See, we don't know His plans. I've had people ask me, well, Pastor, do you know what God wants me to do? Or do you know what God's plans are for me? I'm like, I know one thing. He wants you to be a soul winner. Come on. You see, we don't know His plans. Someone might look at a meth user and presume that they are beyond God's interest, not knowing that God explicitly says that He's seeking out lost and hopeless. We don't believe His promises. A Christian might ask for forgiveness from God for a sin, but then continues to be consumed with guilt because they can't believe that God would really forgive them. Or we don't know God's power. You see, a church continues to exist believing that the best they can do, what they can do is pulling their resources, but having no vision of God going, helping them get to a greater place. Come on, folks, I'm telling you, all it takes is one person to step out and say, God, use this vessel. I'm a willing vessel, and you won't believe how God can break out revival. Do you believe that God will do what He said He will do when He will do it? And that's that He still does it today. If He did it back then, He'll do it. He's no respecter of person. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God did it in the early church, folks, He wants to do it in the end time. That's what I was saying. Here we are in the fourth quarter. Amen. The former rain. It was a great rain, but the end rain, the latter rain, is going to be even greater. And guess who's there? It's us, folks. God is looking for somebody to stand up and say, here I am, use me. That's what Mary's like, okay, God, I don't see how you, I'm a virgin. How can this be? But I'll do it. I'll do it. Mary's willingness brings partnership with spiritual power. Think about that today, folks. Here she's a young girl. She was a teen. But her willingness, that's what God is looking for, folks. He's looking for willingness. Come on. Hey, man, you may think you're a nobody. You come from a family that's a nobody. But I'm telling you, God is looking for willingness. Her willingness brings partnership. You want to partner with God? Be willing. Amen. You want to see the power of God and willingness come together? Say, here I am. If you'll do that, you'll see the power of God. God's vision, listen for me, listen folks, God's vision for Mary involves a combination of her willingness and the Holy Spirit power. He's got all the power you could ever want. And then some. But He's looking for vessels. He's looking for willingness that says, here I am. Come on, folks. God will give you the power you need to do whatever He desires. He desires great things. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary's willingness to trust, to serve, to team up with God's power. And the result is the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, the principle is that we bring our willingness to listen, our willingness to obey, while God provides the power through His Holy Spirit. Any promises of God is always predicated with an if. If you will do this, I will do this. Amen. Are you willing? Are you willing for God to use you? Are you willing to obey God? Amen. Are you willing to submit to His power, His authority? Amen. That He puts in your life. That's the problem in so many places, folks, is people are not willing to submit to the power and the authority of God. Want to do it their own way. We are more likely to think the Holy Spirit in terms of comfort and security, not in the power. Come on, He brought His power. Amen. He came to a young girl and said, listen, if you accept this, amen, the power will give you what I desire. I'll work it through your life. Why don't we look for that power? We look at it, you know, here's the Holy Spirit. Oh, it comforts me. It's my security. Why aren't you looking for the power? We've got to look for that power, folks. Many Christians have low expectations concerning our spiritual lives. There's so much more, but it takes a commitment. You think for one minute, if Mary would have thought about, I'm sure she right away thought about the shame. How, you know, I'm not even married. I'm not even espoused. And then all the things that had to happen in her life because she said, okay, God, use me. You have to leave right away. Go to Elizabeth's place. She's got to talk to Joseph and tell him. And, you know, he's like, oh my goodness, this can't happen. They got to travel to Bethlehem. God, I'm doing your will. Why do I got to leave my home? Why do I got to go to Bethlehem? Riding a donkey, pregnant. That sounds like anything a mother would want. You think your car's rough to ride in? Try the Ford donkey. God, I'm doing your will. I can't even get a decent ride. Well, let's at least get comfort in. Is there a Motel 6 to leave a light on for us? Can't even find a place to stay. She's doing the will of God, folks. Come on, she's teaming up with the power. Her willingness is teaming up with the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, because the Bible said it overshadowed Mary. Hallelujah. It teamed up with her, folks. But look, she's riding on a donkey. She gets there. It's time for the baby. The hospitals are full because of COVID. Come on. And she ends up in a stinky cave. Damp. Stinky. Come on. Think about your babies. We want them all wrapped up in those cuddly little warm blankets. And we touch their little nose and here her baby's laying in a feeding trough. I'm doing your will, God! You see, folks, we don't know where God's going to take us. But I'm telling you, anything we go, every place we go with Jesus Christ is so worthy. It's so worth it. Hallelujah. We don't understand where God's going to take us. Amen, folks. Why don't we look for the power? Why don't we look for the power? Come on. We like our comfort. We like our security. But why aren't we seeking the power of God to move in our lives? Come on. We can't be afraid. Come on, God. You're going to take me to Africa? That's fine. My family begged me not to come to Cleveland. They told me I was crazy. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Come on, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Man, I was handing my wife switchblade knives and everything. I was afraid up here. Scared to death to let her go out to the store anywhere. I was raised in the country. But God takes you places, folks. If you'll seek the power. Amen. If you seek the power, you'll get the comfort. If you'll take the power, you'll get the security. God will have your back, folks. God will take care of you. Hallelujah. You see, many people, many Christians today have low expectations concerning our spiritual lives. And the reason for that is low expectations among Christians of what we can expect of God's power. But folks, we've never seen it modeled. We think of salvation as a transaction rather than an empowerment. Folks, we are leery to pursue this because we like to be in control. We are leery to pursue this because we don't know how God's power will manifest. And we think faith means belief, but little more than that. Folks, the Bible envisions the Christian life as one with power. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, listen to this, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible envisions the Christian life as one with power. In 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. The Bible envisions a Christian life as one of power, folks. 1 Corinthians 4:19-20. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know that not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 2:4-7. Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God wants us to have power. Come on, he says, look, I don't want just you wanting your security blanket. I don't want to be just your security blanket. I want to use you. Amen. You'll have your security. You'll have your comfort. But amen, just trust in me. Desire the power. Team up with me. What would a first step be? pray and work towards something that you can accomplish on your own. Don't randomly pick something, but seek God's leading. You can go out here and say, I'd like to be a Sunday school teacher. Is that where God wants you? I'd like to do this. Is that where God wants you? Don't miss it, folks. It's just because it seems too big. Maybe God might ask me to do something way too big. I never pastored before. I worked in a lot of different areas in the church and helped, you know, lead people and guide people and stuff like that, but I never pastored. Amen. I didn't have to come up with 3 sermons a week. God will bless you. God will help you. When God's promises seem too good to be real, folks, the angel Gabriel's message was unexpectedly encouraging, but yet at the same time, it troubled Mary. Hear me what I said? Gabriel's message was, it was encouraging. She didn't expect it, but yet at the same time, she was troubled. Luke 1, 28, 29 says, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. That's encouraging. The Lord is with thee. That's encouraging. Blessed art thou among women. That's encouraging. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. Okay, this is encouraging. God, he says, I'm favored and I'm favored among women and all this kind of stuff. But wait, what's going on here? What's he want from me? Okay, God, now don't overstep your bounds. Come on. That's how some people do when it comes time for offering. Okay, God. Here's my tithe. Don't overstep your bounds. Right? The message and the response don't immediately line up here. What do you want, God? The response in verse 29 tells us that Mary was greatly troubled. Oh, if I get too close to God, he might want to use me. That's called troubled. If I commit too much, you know, I want to keep my pastor at arm's length. See, Mary was greatly troubled. Given that response, you would presume that the message she was given by the angel was a bad one. Why would she be troubled? Yet the opposite. It's the opposite. Gabriel had told her that she was highly favored and that God was with her. This raises a question, folks, doesn't it? Why did it trouble her? We want to look into this, folks, and this is tension. And I want you to consider with me. Would you do the same? Safe, predictable Christianity. Is that what we want today? Safe, predictable Christianity. I go to church this many times a week. That's good. I'm a good Christian. Safe. God, don't you even think about sending me to Africa. Come on. So my wife said, anything but a pastor's wife. Safe, predictable. Right? Is that what we want today, folks? Safe, predictable Christianity? Things that shake our expectations leave us unsettled, doesn't it? Try to figure out why Mary's response doesn't seem to fit with the angel's message with me. Think about it, folks. The starting point for the biggest reason has to do with our expectations. Most of us like a safe, predictable walk with God. And sure, we might admire great preachers. Man, that guy could preach, and he's been all over the place. That's just awesome. We like to hear missionaries come and tell us all the things that are happening and how God is using them, and that's good for them. But God, don't... This is safe. This is predictable. And leave me alone. And then when somebody comes in and God is really preaching and you feel God tugging at your heart, and we're like, wait a minute, God. You're stepping across the line here. Safe, predictable Christianity. We like stories about how God is used, and we love to hear great testimonies, how God used somebody and done great things with them. And folks, we think it's great, but we're not quite as excited about it happening to us. Come on. And when we pray for our family, we may pray a whole lot more for God to keep them and us safe. And for God to use them and us powerfully for the kingdom of God. Do you pray that way? God, just bless me and my family and our home and help us, Lord, and just bless us on our jobs. And God, just keep the roof good so I don't have to buy a new roof. And I don't want to have to do a lot of work on my house. Oh, and bless my car so I can get back and forth to church 3 times a week. Safe, predictable Christianity. Or do you say, God, whatever you want. God, I'll go wherever you want. I'll do whatever you want. God, I don't care. Lord, take me here, take me there, use me here, use me there. Come on. Can you understand today why Mary was troubled? When it looks like God is opening up an opportunity for us to serve, are we excited at the open door, or are we annoyed at the intrusion to our already busy schedule? You see, folks, when God allows something in our lives that throws our set of plans off, are we curious to see what He's up to, or are we perturbed that we have to move things around in our life? You see, a big part of the way most of us want God in our lives can be summarized in 2 words. Insurance policy. I got a nice insurance policy. Me and God, we got a good thing going. It's safe and it's comfortable. You need to get on the plan. We want God to protect us from really bad stuff, don't we? We want God to talk to we want Him to be there when we're feeling overwhelmed. Hey God, let me tell you something, how my day went. Can you help it? Can you fix it, God? We want God to make us feel safe in the face of death. We want God to keep everything on track. We want safe, predictable Christianity. This is a far cry from a God whose goal is to transform the world. How is God going to transform the world when Christians, all they want is safe, predictable Christianity? God wants to save this world. And it's going to take some warriors to get it done. It's a far cry from the mission to reach people in the darkest corners of society. Folks, this is a far cry from the servant always ready to heed to the master's call. This is a far cry from someone who covets God's will above everything else. Folks, you see, folks, we all know the type of person that Mary was. That's why it's amazing to us. This young, precious little Jewish girl, not even 18 years old. Here God is offering her something that's going to turn her world upside down. We can sympathize with Mary. Mary, I understand your plight. I don't know, Mary, if I could have done that. Mary, if you'd have known what was going to take place, would you have done it? After all, folks, Gabriel says she's highly favored. Will you let God rock your world today, folks? Will you let God turn your world upside down and say, God, wherever you want me, I will go. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for thinking I'm highly favored. Thank you, Lord, for thinking I'm a good Christian. But God, if you want me to do more than have my safe, predictable Christianity, God, I'm willing. See, even she responded to this message with a troubled heart. Most of us don't embrace the unexpected very well, do we? And again, we like the safe and predictable. But of course, folks, Mary has her uncertainties and Mary has her questions. But by verse 38, she makes this faithful declaration that she is the Lord's servant. And folks, that's a pretty quick turnaround. Mary's thinking, and she's hearing this angel speak, and you're highly favored, and she's hearing all that. At the same time, she's troubled. She's like, okay, where's this going? And you may be here today, and you may be hearing the words coming from the man of God today, and you may be a little stirred up inside, and you're saying, yeah, I need to do this. And you're thinking, if I do this, what can happen? How's my world going to be in a month? I have this routine every Monday. It starts on Monday. I get up in the morning. I do this. Every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday, and Sunday, we're back at it again. But if I say, okay, God, what's going to happen to my world? You see, folks, when you live in this place where you say, look, I like my predictable, I like my comfort, I like all these things a certain way, when things come in society like they are today, and we have pandemics, and we have people coming and burning down stores and homes and all these kind of things, and we get all nervous and we're troubled inside, we'll say, God, what's going on? This is not the comfortable place that I'm used to. What is it that God has to do to us, folks? Amen. To get some people to stand up and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. God, here I am. Use me. Hallelujah. When you hear God, sometimes it's incredible what He's saying to you. When you hear God, sometimes it's impressive what He's saying to you. It's something that you would think we would embrace with our arms wide open and say, God, thank you for telling me this. God, thank you for speaking to me. But what do you want to do? We don't look at it that way. We don't look at it and say, God, thank you. Maybe we think God's promises are too good to be real. Maybe we just like our safety and our security more. In either event, folks, there are times today when God's message to us, like His message to Mary, is unexpectedly encouraging, and yet it leaves us troubled rather than excited. What are the ways that God speaks something great to us, and our response doesn't embrace that as Mary's does? What are the ways that we act like what God is offering is too good to be real? Well, some people think it's being forgiven of your sins. Some people have a hard time believing that God really forgives them. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, that forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. God wants to forgive you. Amen. We believe that Jesus died on the cross in order to forgive us of our sins, and He took our sins upon Himself. It was an act of incredible compassion, incredible love. There are numbers of reasons that people will not receive the forgiveness in their lives, though. And the one that's relevant to what we're talking about is the major one. You just don't know what I've done. Pastor, you just don't know the things I've done. Maybe I don't. I don't care. Because I know God can forgive them. See, the only thing God can't forgive is an unforgiving heart. If you can't forgive somebody else of things they've done for you, then God can't forgive you. That's the only thing God can't forgive. Come on. There are many people who respond to the offer of forgiveness from Jesus, not with joy, but with disbelief. You see, they know that they're too bad to get it. Gabriel's message was unexpectedly encouraging, yet troubling to Mary. And folks, there's something similar today. The idea that a sinner can be forgiven is clearly unexpectedly encouraging. As a sinner, we deserve punishment. Amen? As a sinner, we deserve condemnation. As a sinner, we deserve justice. But God's message to us, though His word is unexpectedly encouraging, I know you're a sinner and I love you enough. I paid the debt. But at the same time, many find that message troubling. It's too good to be true. It's too much. There's no way that God would do that for me. Another way is, you know, you are a new creation in Christ, capable. Folks, you're capable of living victoriously every day. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible teaches us that Jesus didn't just die on the cross for our sins, but His resurrection gives us new life. Hallelujah. We have powerful salvation, one that empowers us to overcome sin in our lives. But many people don't buy into this. They say, I'm a nobody. I'm nobody great. What could God do in my life? Gabriel's message was unexpectedly encouraging yet troubling to Mary. But folks, here's another thing that's somewhat similar. The idea of our salvation gives us the ability to live victoriously is encouraging. Folks, that is not empty salvation. It's powerful for our everyday trials. It's powerful for our everyday temptations. God's message to us through His Word is unexpectedly encouraging. He says, I want you to live out life, overcoming life, amen, over abundant life. Many find that message troubling. It's too hard to be true. It's too much to be true. Folks, there is no way that God would do that for me, but God offered that very thing. Why wouldn't He want that? Why wouldn't you want it? Your spiritual gifts and service are part of God's plan. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians that God gives us, each believer, at least one spiritual gift when they are saved for the kingdom of God. Paul says that God intends each believer to do their part in order to for the body of Christ to be able to be fully functional the way God intends. You see, your spiritual gifts and your service to God are part of His plan, folks. God wants to use you. And when you sit and you soak it in instead of stepping up and serving, the church cannot be everything that God intends it to be. And so many Christians don't live out this amazing opportunity to live a life of impact. I don't have anything to offer, they say. Gabriel's message was unexpectedly encouraging, yet troubling to Mary, folks. Amen. Another similar thing is the idea that God wants to do something worthwhile through us. Clearly, unexpectedly, and encouraging. But we're just a little person, a little corner of the world, folks. We can see plenty of people who would be more qualified than me. Use them, God. And folks, God's message to us today, amen, is unexpectedly encouraging. I have made you to count. I've already have plans for how I want to use you. Amen. But many still are troubled by that. He has plans for you. He knows what He has plans for you. Amen. It's too good to be true. It's too much. There's no way that God could do such a great thing through me. You see, our lives are billboards of God's transforming power. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according, here it is, to the power that worketh in us. Come on, folks. It's got to be what you desire inside. Amen. It says, God, pour it in me. Let it come out. Let it run over out of sight of me. Come on. Paul teaches us that God's works in us and through us, through our lives, becomes a testimony to the transforming power of God. Hallelujah. God doesn't just save us and leave us mired in sin, but He changes us and He uses us. The most powerful testimony to Jesus' power is a changed life. Hallelujah. Many Christians have lowered their expectations, and we don't expect a changed life. We don't expect much of anything from God except an occasional answered prayer here and there. We don't look for a life to become substantially more like Christ. And many Christians don't make any attempt to live out this offer. And I just want to come to church. Gabriel's message was unexpectedly encouraging yet troubling to Mary, folks, and something similar. Folks, the idea that God would grow us so much that it would be noticeable to the world and enticing to them is unexpectedly encouraging. You see, our lives can be beacons of hope in this dark world. Our lives can give glory to God. God's message to us through His Word is unexpectedly encouraging. Hallelujah. I want to see God work through my life. How about you today? I want to be a beacon to the world that God can change anybody. Too often many find this message troubling. It's too good to be true. It's too much. There's no way that God would do that in me. Yet we have this promise from Scripture. Do you live as though God's promises are too good to be real? I want you to consider your own spiritual life today as we stand. Hear me. Folks, I want you to consider your own spiritual life. Are you experiencing these incredible promises in your life? Coming to church. You just want the comfort and the security. Are you holding back from God's promises because you find them too good to be true? How about it today, folks? Do you keep telling yourself it's too good to be true? It can't be me. God is looking for is someone to say, okay, God, I'm willing. Come on. I'll tell you something. God is speaking to each and every one of you here today. You may be a little troubled. Mary was troubled. But Mary didn't let that angel leave until she said, okay. How about it today, folks? This altar's open. Can you come up here and say, God, it's okay. I'll do it. I'm troubled. God, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.